Be glad to hear it. Mr. Spear. All right. Mrs. Spear. All right. Anybody else? Stacy. All right. Amen. Cindy. Amen. All right. Good. Two verses. Anybody else? Janie. Amen. All right. Very good. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right. Very good. Well, lots of memorizers today. Ron, if you'll distribute this around, and no cheating. But I did hear him say one, so I guess he gets one too. All right, we're going to be in the book of Genesis mainly, go to different places, but in Genesis. We're going to be on page 37 in our books, lesson number 9, Stop and Thank the Lord. So we've had a major climactic event happen just in the last lesson, and that is that Joseph finally reveals himself to his brothers, whose jaws dropped to the floor, I'm sure, in Genesis 45. When they found out that this man that has been so scary and so fearsome is actually the brother that they sold as a slave 20 plus years ago. And as they're standing there with their mouths open, unable to speak, he says to them, I'm Joseph, you sold me, but God sent me. Are you having... Is she trying to tell you what to do, Mr. Spear? Over here, Ron. Oh, she got one? Okay, everybody got one. All right, good. Thank you. All right. Thank you. All right, anybody else miss one? Or everybody got? Okay, good. So Genesis 45 is where the climax concludes as we see these brothers finally shocked at who this is. And this fearsome man, leader of Egypt, is really their brother. They sold him 20 plus years ago. They thought he was dead by now. They couldn't imagine that he would be put in charge of Egypt. And yet here he was. And so this is a shock to them. And of course, after the shock wears off, they begin to cry and they're rejoicing. They're shocked. They're probably somewhat ashamed, many of them. Benjamin, the youngest, had nothing to do with it. He's overjoyed and blown away that the brother he thought he lost years ago is alive. And then Joseph tells him, I want you to go and get Dad. I want you to go back and get Dad and Mom. Take wagons from Egypt. And haul everything here because there's a lot more years of famine left and they're not going to make it. You might as well come down here and spend time here in Egypt with me. And so that's where we're going to pick up today. And so this lesson 9 is Stop and Thank the Lord. All right. And so Genesis chapter 46 is where we're going to get to, but we're going to actually read a little bit in Genesis 45. But as we reach Genesis 46, we see that it has been a long, hard road for Jacob. The heartache he had known had been severe. He had lived with the thought that his precious son Joseph had been torn apart by wild beasts. Recently, he had been separated from his son Simeon. Remember, they kept Simeon the first time, and they went back home without Simeon, saying, you're not going to see Simeon again unless you bring the youngest. And so then they bring the youngest, Benjamin. And so now Jacob has lost Joseph 20 plus years earlier. Simeon's been gone for a while, and now he's let Benjamin go. So he's got three of his sons in jeopardy here, and Jacob has no idea what's going on. He has no idea that Joseph is revealing himself to his brothers. He has no idea that Joseph's alive. And while his sons were gone to buy more food, he's clueless of what's going on here. Pharaoh had heard that Joseph's brethren had come. news spread like wildfire when they found out who these people were and how they were connected to Joseph. And he told Joseph to prepare wagons in a kingly fashion and send them back to Canaan to fetch his father Jacob. Pharaoh was going to give Jacob and his sons the best of the land of Egypt because of Joseph. And so in chapter 45, we pick it up and verse number 24. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, see that ye fall not out by the way. And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And I'm sure yours would too. He just was in shock. Verse 27, and they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And I don't know if he heard it the first time, because he was just in shock. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. When he saw the wagons, he realized, well, they couldn't have stolen all these wagons. And who else could have sent them but the king himself? And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. Chapter 46. And Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto God of his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. And I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. And Jacob rose from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob their father and their little ones and their wives in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And they took their cattle and their goods which they had gotten in the land of Canaan and came into Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him, and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his seed brought he with him into Egypt. And so we see here that in verse 1, on Jacob's way to Egypt, verse 1 of chapter 46, Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba. That would be the southernmost point of the border of what we call the promised land, of the land of Canaan. So just before he crosses over the border of Beersheba into the wilderness in Egypt, he offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. And so on Jacob's way to Egypt, he stops in Beersheba. I'm sure just the excitement of hearing that Joseph is alive, caught up in the excitement of the event and the wagons and everything ready to go. And Dad, all you got to do is get on and we can take off and all of that. But on the way from wherever he was staying at the time to Beersheba, maybe he started to think about some things. Maybe he started to calm down a little bit and the emotions were settling. And of course, he's still excited to see Joseph, but he started to think about some things and reflect on some things. And so on the way to Egypt, just before they crossed the border, this is significant as well, he offered sacrifices to God. Certainly, he was very eager to see Joseph. But obviously, he stopped. And it took more than just a few minutes to do this, to build an altar, to offer sacrifices to God, to pray and to thank God. He took the time to stop and to thank the Lord. And we need to do that. Thanksgiving is not just for November. Thanksgiving should be all the time. There's so many things to give thanks for and praise God for. We have things to be giving thanks for even this week, and praising God for people that got saved this past week, and salvations, and just good things that have happened behind the scenes. And maybe you personally have had a rough week or something like that. But I tell you, even if you've had a rough week, there's still something exciting to give praise and to give thanks to God for. There's still something that we can share and remember and reflect on the goodness of God. It's amazing how when something good happens to us, somehow we have it in our head, well, it's about time, as if we deserve it. And so it's not like we're thankful. It's more like, well, it's about time you came through. That's not a thankful attitude. And somewhere along the way, Jacob realized, I thought my son was dead. Not only is my son alive, not only do I get to go see him again, but there seems to be a unity among my boys that there hasn't been for over 20 years. there seems to be a change in Judah. Judah's changed. And there seems to be a change in them. And he's reflecting on things, and he stops to give thanks to God. Could it be that you've not stopped to give thanks to God? We need to learn to be thankful for all the things we didn't get that we wanted. I don't know about you, but half the stuff I wanted wasn't a good idea. But at the time, I really wanted it, and I just had to have it. You ever just stopped and said, Lord, thank you for protecting me from my stupidity? Now, maybe I'm the only one in the room that's stupid, but might somebody that knows you better than I do might say otherwise about you. Stupidity needs to be protected. And God is faithful to not give us everything we want and to be a blessing to us. And let me just say this. Had Jacob not lost his son for 20 plus years, he might not have the continuity of his family now. I mean, if he'd have found out about the whole deal, about the scandal of how they sold him into slavery, and he'd have even rescued him, there probably never would be forgiveness and unity there like there's going to be now. And there's going to be more of a submission amongst the brothers. And so there's just so many things that we forget that God does it better than we do. And God doesn't need to worry about time like we do. He's not worried about whether it takes 20 or 30 years or whether it takes a lifetime. He just knows best. And so he allows things for a reason. So we should see the blessings. Page 38. There's 3 points today. We should see the blessings. Learn to see the blessings. I love that song. I believe to see the goodness of the Lord. I feel sorry for people who are just so pessimistic they can never see the goodness of the Lord. I'm not saying we should be a ridiculous, unrealistic optimist, but there's always goodness. If you're a Christian, if you're a believer, do you realize if you're a believer, the best is yet to come? Do you realize if you're not a believer and you're just an American, you can't say that? Especially right now, you can't say that? But if you're a believer, the best is still in front of you. That's awesome. Doesn't matter how bad it gets between here and there, the best is still yet to come. It's better than it will ever been before. And as you get older in life, you think, oh, my best years are behind me. No. If you're a Christian, the best is still yet to come. And we should learn to see the blessings. We should stop and recognize what God has done and what he is doing. Now imagine the anguish Jacob was under when his sons were all gone. He was left alone in Hebron after much persuasion. He had even allowed Benjamin, the youngest, to go down to Egypt, which he was clinging to that youngest boy. He thought about his boys and wondered what they were doing and when they would come home and whether or not Benjamin would come back alive or whether he'd ever see Simeon again, assuming Joseph was dead. Suddenly he saw them coming. And not only were they were coming with these royal wagons. And they told him that Joseph was alive. But he had trouble believing it, as we would. And then he saw the wagons coming in a kingly fashion. And they confirmed that the story was true. The Bible says that when he saw the wagons, his spirit revived. No way. Unbelievable. Incredible. I can't believe it. How could it be? Well, that's God. God does things more than and bigger than our mind can comprehend. Greater than anything we could ask or think or imagine. He recognized the hand of God. And he saw his blessings. For 20 plus years, he's probably been grieving and probably quietly, silently saying, God, why? I don't understand why my son was killed, and most likely it was by my own boys who did it. Why? Oh, God, why? My son, my firstborn from Rachel, why? And yet, clutching and hoping and waiting for God to explain it, years later, it finally is revealed. So we see God's blessing as we look back to the Lord Jesus Christ in our life, and we see what God's done for us. And I hope you stop and praise God. I hope that when you come to church, it helps to remind you of all the things you are blessed with and how good you really do have it compared to the world out there. I feel sorry for people who are without God, people who are running from God. I feel sorry for people who are convinced that the blessings have to come elsewhere than from God instead of submitting to him. Maybe God's way is a lot slower. Maybe God's way is going to cost you a couple decades, but God's way is still the best way. Can't get better than that. As we see the blessings, God does a work in our hearts, and he refreshes us by his Spirit. We must see the blessings, and we must not allow the devil to blind us to the goodness of God. When Naomi came back from Moab, she said, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. My life is bitter." She'd gotten so depressed and so defeated, she just assumed that, "You should just call me bitter from now on." But God miraculously blessed her and made her a grandmother through the daughter-in-law Ruth. She never expected that. God blessed, and God blesses. And that should revive our hearts from the blindness of Satan that he wants to blind us with. He wants to discourage us. It's such an encouragement to have Peter and Lakeisha with us today. Now, I think they've been listening to Sunday school online. But now they're sitting right here in the second row listening with a book in their hand. Why? Because there's been some salvations in the house this week. What a blessing that is. And I'm sure they're thrilled for themselves and for their own family. But you know what? It's a blessing to all of us. What a blessing. What an encouragement it is to our hearts as well. You know, we just need to remember that there are winter days. And then there are springtime. There is springtime and summer. And during those winter seasons, let not forget to praise God and give thanks to him. Because the season will change. And praise the Lord and bless his name. You know, winters around here are pretty lousy sometimes. I don't mind them, honestly. I'd rather have a change once in a while. But I will tell you this. I love living around here compared to where they live back east and southeast. And it gets to be about spring. And from like spring till fall, you're like dodging mosquitoes that are trying to lift you off the earth and carry you away. And sucking all the blood out of your body. And the humidity is so bad that if you take a shower, you can't tell if you took a shower or if you're still taking a shower. Or if you dried off or if you need to dry off again. And it's just, you know what? I can handle the winter. Compared to that, I can handle the winter. And I just think that we get so about everything. And you know what? In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. If you really believe God's in charge, and you really believe that all things work together for good to them that love God, then stop thinking that grass is greener over there means you got to move. Just trust the Lord. Just let God be God and quit envying or coveting or worrying or thinking that maybe someone else has it better. Just trust God and let God deal with you and work in your life and make you an amazing example of his grace, goodness, and power by being faithful to him. So we should see the blessings. And if you can't, either you're not saved or you're just not right with the Lord and Satan's blinded you and defeated you. So Jacob, I think, was a hurt man, somewhat defeated in those years. Don't see a lot about Jacob during this time. He's just kind of very skeptical. "I don't want you to take my youngest. He'll end up dead like the other one." He's very pessimistic. Maybe all of a sudden God was working on his heart. And on that trip from Hebron down to Beersheba, he's thinking, "Boy, all this time, God, I have been doubting you and I've been mad at you and I've been frustrated with you. And all this time, Joseph was alive. All this time, you were taking care of Joseph. All this time, you were just doing your thing and planning your plan. And here I was, instead of just trusting you." I don't think Jacob's the only one who's ever done that. And we need to learn to see the blessings of God. God's still God and God's still in charge. Even if the clouds cover the sun's still there. The sun is still shining. It's a cloudy day. No, it's a sunny day. We just got clouds in the way. It's still a sunny day. Sun comes out every day. God comes out every day. He's there every day. It's just that not some days we don't always see him, so we, stop. Let me tell you something. On the cloudy days when it's just cloudy and cold, did you know that if the sun didn't do its job, we wouldn't just be cold, we'd be icebergs. The sun is still there. And he knows we need cloudy days for a reason. So we should see the blessings. Secondly, we should thank our God. So, Genesis chapter 46, verse 1. And Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. All of a sudden, for the first time that I can recall, this is the first time in a long time that Jacob is pointing his family to God. And he's reminding everybody in the family. I mean, you know that the engines are revved up in those wagons. You know they're ready to go to Egypt, but all of a sudden they just kind of stop, and it's like, hold on, we need to remember who God is. We're all excited. This is amazing, but we're going to stop and give thanks to God. Beersheba is at the southern tip of the land of Canaan. From Hebron to Beersheba, it's about 25, 30 miles by wagon, by horse, by donkey. As they traveled toward Egypt, when they came to Beersheba, Jacob said, stop the wagons. I know we're excited about seeing Joseph and going to Egypt, but we must stop and thank the Lord. We must not forget to thank the Lord for his goodness in our lives. We'll probably have a communion service here soon, near somewhere around the Easter time. It's a time for us to give thanks, just like we do it November and Thanksgiving time and Thanksgiving Eve service. It's a time for us to give thanks and praise the Lord and give a testimony of his goodness in our lives. But you know what? Any time that you want to give thanks. On Wednesday night when we have prayer time, we always ask for praises. On Friday at the Hope Ministry, we're always saying, hey, do you want to have a praise? It's such an exciting thing to hear praises and to hear blessings and to hear God's goodness in our lives and to praise the Lord. And we need to stop and smell the flowers and praise God for what he's already done. So before Jacob left Canaan and started into the desert on the way to Egypt, he got out of the wagon, got on his face, and worshiped God. Thank God. What could have been more important than seeing Joseph? I mean, who could blame him if he just put the pedal to the metal and just sped all the way there? But the thing that was even more important than seeing Joseph, who all of a sudden he realizes is alive, is to recognize who's even more important than Joseph and to thank God who made it possible. So everything came to a halt and they offered sacrifices unto the God of their fathers at Beersheba. And the box here says there's a world of difference between thinking about the Lord and actually thanking the Lord. When we're reminded of a thought of how good God's been, let's stop and thank him. I think that's proper for us as human beings. When you think about what someone's done for you, remember to thank them. And not just think about them. Thinking will lead to thanking, but you need to think and then thank. And so if God's reminding you or you're being reminded of a blessing from the Lord, don't just think it, thank it. And so we see Jacob doing that. Now, I also think there's another reason why he stopped and talked to God. And this tells you something about Jacob. Because what father would be absolutely, what parent would be absolutely just motivated to get to Egypt as fast as you could when you found out that the dead son you had wasn't dead at all and was alive? But you remember, he's leaving the promised land. And technically, it's not a good thing to leave the promised land. Remember, Abraham left and got himself in Egypt and had to get right with God and get back to Bethel. And I think Jacob realizes, wait a minute, as emotional, as excited as I am, I got to stop and make sure God's okay with this. Because this is one of the very few times that people would actually go into Egypt and God blessed it. So the third point is we should obey the Lord. Yeah, but my son's there. Surely I don't need to talk to God about that. It's a no-brainer. Listen, there is never such a thing as a no-brainer when it comes to asking God first. Ask Joshua what happens when you don't ask God first. In the book of Joshua, there's some people that fooled him, and he didn't pray and ask God about it first. I remember hearing the story of a pastor in a church back in Indiana that an old lady left them these oil wells in her will. Woo-hoo! But they didn't pray about it. They just assumed, oh, well, it's a no-brainer. What they found out is these oil wells in Oklahoma that she left them were so dilapidated and messed up that the EPA was after them. It cost them money just to shut down those oil wells. pastor said, we never prayed about it. Who prays about someone giving you oil wells? We need to stop and say, hold it. This looks like a wonderful blessing, but let's not get ahead of myself. Let's not become selfish. Let's stop and find out, God, I just found out Joseph's in Egypt, and I'm sure you had something to do with it, but I need to talk to you first. I'm thankful he's alive, but before I get too wound up, what's your will? What do you want me to do? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. That's what Jacob's doing here. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. When he settled down and got to thinking about it, he realized we're about to cross out of home. And he stopped and he acknowledged him. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, it says in verse 6 of Proverbs 3, and he shall direct thy paths. And what he heard from God is that God spake and said, here am I am the God of thy father. I will be there, and I will make a great nation of you in Egypt. It's okay. You have my blessing to go. Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6 says it this way. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetous, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. We need to recognize that God's presence is always with us, and we need to talk to him at all times. If it looks like a no-brainer, I still need to pray and trust the Lord. Now, usually when it's a real difficult thing, we pray and trust the Lord, or we at least pray. Usually when it's a problem we can't figure out, we pray. But usually when it looks like we don't need to pray, we don't. But God wants us to pray both ways. I love the song. I don't know if it's in this hymnal that we have right now, but we have a different hymnal that we use sometimes. And it says, Lord, I need you. And then it says, Lord, I need you when the sea of life is calm. Lord, I need you when the wind is blowing strong. Did you know you need him all the time? And sometimes when it looks like you don't need him is when you really need him. And I believe that what Jacob is doing here is he's stopping, he's settling down, and he's saying, God, I need you to direct our paths. I need you to tell me if this is as much as I want to see Joseph right now. I need to find out if this isn't just me wanting it, but this is really what you want. You can apply this to just about every decision in your life. I don't think there's a decision you can't involve God with that it would be a benefit. Genesis chapter 46, and we're going to look at these verses here, verse 2. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. So number one, take courage. Be courageous. Don't be afraid. I know Egypt's not a good place to be. Egypt is the picture of the world. But I'm in this. My will is in this. I will there make of thee a great nation. This is part of prophecy, as a matter of fact. 400 plus years, you'll be in Egypt. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. So, not only courage, but also assurance. I will be with you. And I will make you a great nation and direction. I will go down with thee into Egypt. Now, this is the best part. It really doesn't matter where we're going as long as God's going with us. As long as we know God's there. And that's what sheep and shepherds do. Shepherds lead the way and sheep just follow. It really doesn't matter if you go through the valley of the shadow of death. If the shepherd's there, you can be content that the shepherd knows what he's doing and the sheep can be content to follow. The only time you got to be worried is when the shepherd's not there. It's when you're going a different direction from the shepherd. And Jacob is showing some wisdom here. And after the emotions settle down, he says what we all need to say. God, as much as I want to see my boy again, as much as I want to see him, I need to know, are you going into Egypt or am I just going into Egypt? Is this your lead or is this just my lead? And I'll tell you what, we need to practice that in our lives. $50 an hour sounds like a pretty good deal. But that doesn't mean God's going that way. There's lots of things that sound like a no-brainer, but that doesn't mean God's in it. But he stopped. When he settled down, he stopped. He said, Lord, I'm about to cross over this line. And you said this land was the promised land to our fathers, and I'm about to leave it. Because I'm so wanting to see that boy, but what's your will? And he found that God's will was for him to go. And so he found courage, he found assurance, and he found direction. So God told him to go down to Egypt, and God promised to be with him. And it really doesn't matter. So many people, I think, are worried about where they are. Oh, I don't want my child to be a missionary in Timbuktu, Africa. That sounds terrible. If God's there, they're more safe there than they are if they're somewhere where God isn't, where God doesn't want them to be, in other words. If they're somewhere where God didn't lead them, they're in trouble. But if they're where God put them, then it doesn't matter where there is. Paul said, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. By now, everyone should realize you can't possibly put your finger on a map and say, here, that's the safest, best place to be. Says who? That's where I want to be, right there. I want to move to Custer, South Dakota, because there's hardly anybody there, and prices are cheap. Good luck with that. That's logic, but logic can only get you so far. But God is everywhere, and God knows, and if he's leading you, then you have his blessing. But if you're leading him, then he's pretty much going to just say, all right, learn your lesson. So follow God. Don't get the idea that you need to lead God. And so he promises to be with him. If we know that God is blessing our lives, then we should obey him. We should realize he is blessing and has blessed, and so we should just obey him and do what he says. We may be thankful to him, but we must also be obedient to him. It's one thing to say thank you, but it's another thing to realize, you know what, I need to keep obeying. If we're truly thankful for his blessings, it will make a difference in the way we live. Obedience to God is not just simply doing his will. Obedience to God is delighting to do his will. Not only am I doing what I believe God wants me to do with my life right now, I think right now I am where I'm supposed to be, doing what God wants me to do. I really do believe that. But you know what? I'm not walking around going, poor me, just obeying God. Why? That's not submission. That's not thankfulness. But what if God doesn't seem to be noticing me or recognizing me or giving me what I want? I'm supposed to be where I'm supposed to be. I'm just supposed to be faithful to him, doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Joseph, the son, realized this. God wants me in this situation. God wants me in this prison. God wants me here for a reason. Joseph figured it out. And now Jacob's learning it. If we're truly thankful for his blessings, it will make a difference in the way we live. Are you just thankful for where God has you right now? Are you just thankful that you are where God wants you to be and you're blessed just knowing you are where God wants you? Or have you just been kind of calling the shots all this time? There's no satisfaction in that. But just knowing that I am where God wants me to be. And what's cool about it is that Mr. Spear will tell you, so I might as well say it for him. I'm a dunce. See? Now everybody knows he's not. But the cool thing is that even if you're a dunce, as long as you're willing and ready to follow him, he'll make even a dunce look good. He'll make even a dunce look like he knows where he's going. And so it doesn't matter if you got it all figured out. You just got to trust him like a sheep with a shepherd. And he leads. And so then you delight. I delight to do what he says to do. I don't understand it. I don't understand. It doesn't look like it's going to be good for me. It looks like it's going to hurt. Looks like it's going to be bad. But I'm still going to trust him, and I delight to do his will. It makes a difference. God desires for us to see his blessings so that we might have a grateful heart. He wants us to thank him and to obey him. He wants us to not just be thankful, but continue by learning our lesson to obey him And our gratitude to God should bring about obedience to God. I think if you're truly thankful, you're also submissive to what he has for you, because you realize there's no better way than his way. And Jacob, I think, really grew in his spiritual life during this time. I think all of a sudden Jacob realized, I have been doubting God for years. I have been frustrated and bitter at God. And here I am about to see that God hadn't forgotten anything, and that God was still working even though I couldn't see it. And not only am I going to give him thanks, but I'm even going to stop and demonstrate to my family that as much as I want to get there, I want to make sure God's okay with it. Because maybe Jacob is saying, I'm willing to say, you know what? If God doesn't want us to cross this line and I don't ever get to see Joseph alive, I'm just content knowing he is alive and that God has been good and he's protected and saved. And that is a true demonstration, I think, for Jacob to his family, that he was thankful and he was obedient and submissive to God's will, even at this time. All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. And we thank you and praise you and for our salvation, for knowing you as our Savior, and also just for the opportunity to go to heaven, just for the privilege of the blessed assurance and eternal security that we have in Christ. But help us to truly be thankful. Thankful for all things that you allowed and all things you didn't allow. Thankful for the fact that you orchestrate and write the best stories. Help us to trust you instead of picking up the pen and trying to paint the story ourselves. Help us to let you direct our paths and not get ahead of you. Help us to not be selfish and self-centered. Help us to demonstrate like Jacob that as much as we want something, we're going to stop and ask you what you want first. Help us to be truly submissive and obedient. Otherwise, we're going to waste our time. And we're going to have to continue to take tests until we learn and pass the test. Help us to learn our lesson. Help us to be thankful and obedient children, following the shepherd, submissive to your will. Thank you for the example we see today. In Jesus' name, amen.